Okay, so it's Fabio Akira again from the Ruby on Rails podcast Brazil, and now with Ian Lenhart. Okay, and Chris Anderson from the committers from the CouchDB non-relational database, and now the big new kid in town to talk about storage and scalable. And so please introduce yourself first. I think it's going to be better.
Okay. Hi, my name is Jan Lehnert. I'm from Berlin, Germany. I'm one of the CouchDB developers and sort of evangelists. Yeah, I'm right now in San Francisco meeting Chris and a lot of people. I'm interested in CouchDB already, and that's, I guess, why you listen to the podcast.
Hi, I'm Chris Anderson from Portland, Oregon. I started using CouchDB to spider the web into, and it was just worked out so well that I started looking at the code and became a committer myself. So.
Okay, so one of the first things that I personally noticed is that we are all talking about cloud computing, we are all talking about scalability. So Amazon has its SimpleDB, Google has Bigtable, now even Microsoft has this Azure thing with SQL Data Services. And so what is CouchDB exactly, and how does it fit in this picture? I don't know who's going to answer.
CouchDB is not exactly a cloud service. CouchDB is a piece of software that you can run on your own machines.
Yeah.
I'm from Germany. We have pretty strict personal data security laws or safety laws. So I can't put my customers' data on S3, for example, or into SimpleDB because of the license agreement I have with Amazon. So I got to have a local database that I have full control over. That doesn't mean it's a competitor to these cloud services. It's just an addition to have local storage. Maybe you have data that you make a lot of computation on, but and some other data that's the end result of this computation, and you don't want to move all the intermediate data between S3 or SimpleDB or one of the cloud services and your local, because you pay local database, because you pay for the traffic. So you can do the computations at home and then push out the data to the cloud services to get all their benefits. So it's a good addition.
The thing that makes CouchDB different from a lot of the other database software that people run on their workstations or on their servers is it enforces the constraints that a scalable store has to enforce. It is distributed, and it treats multi-node agreement as something that's expensive rather than something that's a normal thing to do. So you don't end up running into like the nasty headaches that you can get trying to do a multi-node SQL server.
Yeah, I actually brought the cloud stuff into the picture mostly because I think all of us web developers are already used to scale the web tier and just add another node and it load balances each other. And we always have this last mile that is the database. And whenever we have to scale the database someday we're going to have to shard the damn thing, then we have to change all our application. So I think the development community is moving away from relational databases into schema-less databases. So and in that sense, I think it's I think the first thing to ask is how do you describe CouchDB in this sense? Because there's no pattern standard like SQL, NC SQL or something. How do you describe CouchDB?
Okay. CouchDB comes with a standard REST interface, that same as with S3. So all the lessons we learned from scaling the web layer on our websites, we can just take to the database. We don't see it, like there's no proprietary thing that gets the bottleneck that we need to do the sharding and all the pains to grow a relational database. We just take all the lessons we know that HTTP scales pretty well, the web is pretty big and it works quite well, so we just take this architecture and put it on the database level to get rid of all the pain. This is how HTTP fits in there.
The driving use case behind the scalability is offline replication. So if you can take something home and work on it, and CouchDB makes that easy, then you can use those same principles to take something to a secondary master node in a multi-master server setup. So because everything allows you to do offline replication, your applications, if you write them correctly, should be able to just spread across nodes as necessary. And, of course, latency between consistencies is going to go up over time with more nodes, but that's unavoidable.
So I might want to add, this is, I kind of forget the thought. You said people move away from relational databases because they see the cloud service are very easy to use. This is good for KHDB because people learn the patterns of how to use these kind of architectures. And B, it's good because KHDB lets them build small clouds wherever they want to that integrate with all the other clouds there, all the cloud that is available.
Well,
the thing that I really like that really drew me to KHDB is the document-based programming model. Mm. It's kind of easier to think about than the relational model, easier to reason about for a wide variety of use cases, because most of the time when you're working with documents are relatively self-contained, so you don't have to do a bunch of queries and know the query plan ahead of time in order to get something sensible back from the database. You just pull out the record or the document that you want to use, and if your client knows how to render it and edit it and save it back, there's no reconstructing your data via relations and queries and joins.
Yeah, I think most big web shops are starting to realize that because, for instance, we see MySQL and now the Grizzle project that is actually removing some of the relational stuff from MySQL. So in order for us to have scalable databases, does it has to be document-oriented? Is it something that's intimately related, or is it just convenient to have document-related architecture in a scalable database?
The scalability from within KHDB is by using HTTP and the principles behind HTTP, and eventually HTTP transforms some data, which can be seen as the document model that KHDB uses. So by using this document model, this HTTP model, we are inherently able to scale as good as the web, and there's nothing that scales as good as the web. So we are in a pretty good spot.
Yeah, the thing that is been found to be scalable in all sorts of different architectures is the standard the really basic key value store. So if you can use a hash function to map keys across multiple nodes, then you know where to look for things. And so if you're storing keys and values, then it's easier to do less retrievals than many retrievals. So that's why you start to move from just from like a row or a column based store to a document which is more self-contained, so you don't have to do a bunch of key lookups to get all the data you need.
Yeah, I think the most famous non-relational database is the Bigtable, because of that's what Google uses. And does KHDB relate to Bigtable? Of course, we can't see its code and how it's implemented, but in terms of the general concept around this kind of database, how does it relate?
There's a project going to get KHDB to act like Bigtable as a backing store for Google App Engine. So it's close enough to where you can get them to swap in and out. But I think that the KHDB API has a little smaller surface area. It really is just a key value store. And then the other thing that makes it like Google Stack but not just Bigtable is the integrated MapReduce. So the way we run queries is with a JavaScript function or a function in the language of your choice that returns additional key value pairs for each document. And then those are also stored in a separate key value store, so you can look up documents by alternate keys other than the ID under which they were saved.
Okay. I think that a lot of people, especially from the DBAs and people that are used to relational models, are kind of uncomfortable with having no relationships, no tables, no schemas. What do you think is? Have you seen this transition from DBAs from the traditional world going to things like KHDB? What are the opinions about that?
I like MySQL and I know MySQL pretty well. And when I started with KHDB, it took me around 4 to 5 months to get my head around how KHDB actually works. And I was talking to Damien, the lead developer, like, KHDB is no good. It can't do X. And MySQL can do X very easily, so KHDB sucks. And he was like, yeah, try to step back a bit and try to understand the principles behind KHDB and then look at these solutions for X. And then I saw that A, KHDB solves X, and B, solves it way more elegantly. So people who come from a relational database mindset and who really try to understand KHDB will see that most of the things they are struggling with are super simple and super easy in reality, and that the problems that they are having are from the constraints that the SQL language and the enforced consistency that that the programming model has inherent. So CouchDB is easier.
Yeah, there's basically two sides to the market, I guess, as it were, for a CouchDB. One is that when you're doing the document-based modeling, it's a lot of times it's just easier. Like, that's our slogan is relax. So the document, working with documents, it's less to keep in your head a lot of the time. But on the other side, you know, there are businesses and use cases for a relational store. And then they end up finding that they have to compromise on that because of scalability. You know, if you're trying to do a foreign key constraint, that can, you know, that's basically talking about agreement. And if the agreement is over, you know, high availability network, that's going to, you know, cost you time or money or, you know, downtime even. CouchDB makes you keep it simple. And sometimes that's hard, but most of the time it's easy.
Yeah, I think there is a notion, I don't know if it's wrong or not, that for maybe, quote-unquote, small things where you can have all your domain in one box or even just replicate it in multiple boxes, but the whole domain in a single place, you can use safely the relational model and don't change your application that much. But if you plan to have, if you have to have scalability in mind, like billions of requests per second in the internet, then you should maybe start not using relational and going straight to document models. Is that the consensus?
Yeah, just don't lock. Locks are gonna bite you eventually, and so CouchDB doesn't have it. The writes are serialized, but there's no locks on the read side. It uses multi-version concurrency controls, so everything is you can trust what comes out of it to be consistent. But it's not gonna put a global lock across your system when you're trying to do some sort of transaction.
So yes, the question of is it if I want a scalable or big system, is it better to look at CouchDB than a relational database? Unless you are that Kurt mentioned, or have one of these very specific use cases that relational databases are really, really good at. If you don't have that, do have a look at CouchDB if you want to go scaling.
Do you have any maybe common use case where it is obvious that you have to use something that is not relational? That's for someone that has to make this decision, what are the normal tips and recommendations?
A content management system, as easy as a blog, but as complex as something maybe Typo3, something where the data that's actually handled is really a document that has a set of properties that you need to query on different indexes. Something that fits the idea of a real-world document, like a piece of paper, that fits this idea very well. And there are quite a few applications. Forums come to mind, guestbook, like the basic internet applications, but more advanced as well.
One of the other use cases that you just don't get from MySQL is the offline work. It's not that hard to get CouchDB installed, you know, even on end user workstations. And so if they've got a copy of CouchDB and your application is written correctly, then they can just pull the whole application down, work with their data, and then merge with the team later on.
Okay, I am obviously a newbie in this whole area, and I try to use CouchDB a little bit. And one thing that's still kind of difficult for me to understand is how do you actually scale CouchDB in multiple nodes? Because thinking in SQL, I think of master-slave configurations, and it's usually not that easy to do. It's usually kind of painful. With CouchDB, is it just a matter of plugging in another box and they're going to communicate with each other? Are they going to shard automatically, or is just a copy of the same database in all the nodes?
Okay, we should look at what scaling means in this. There's, I guess, in the web, three kinds of scaling: scaling read requests, scaling write requests, and scaling data. Scaling read requests is you need multiple machines having the same piece of data, the same pieces of data, the same set of data that like all your users can just query. This is maybe a master-slave configuration or master-slave-slave configuration. CouchDB replication will let you do this. You just set up, okay, we have this master node that gets written to, and then when a write is done, we replicate to all the slaves that we have configured it to write to. But CouchDB doesn't have the notion of master and slave. It's inherently a master-master or n-master replication setup. So if you want to scale writes, you want to have more master servers that you can write to. and then have all the master servers replicate with each other, so they end up with the, or eventually end up with the same set of data to have a consistent snapshot of all your data. And then data scaling is having all your data live on multiple machines because you just have so much data. And this is something that CouchDB doesn't implement yet, but that's part of the core design of CouchDB that we are on our way implementing that. So you will be able to tell CouchDB, say, okay, spread my data over these 10 machines, and please let me know if you've got any bottlenecks, and if there's a bottleneck, we'll put in another machine, and it will automatically configure your cluster, and all transparent to the client application.
The first two kinds of scaling he talked about there, the scaling reads and the scaling writes, the nice thing about doing that is that the middleware you need to do it is just standard HTTP load balancers. So you can use anything from the Apache HTTP server to Nginx, and use for scaling reads, you can just do a round robin. And if you're scaling writes, you can also do a round robin, but direct the puts and the posts as well as the gets to go to all of them rather than just the write master.
To take MySQL as an example, there's the excellent MySQL proxy by Jan Kneschke. It's two or three years old now, and it's a super brilliant addition to everybody who does MySQL work on whatever level, the developer or the DBA. And CouchDB gets something like a proxy for free because it's HTTP. There are tools that are available for 10 years. They're rock solid that people know how to use. There's hardware you can buy. You can just plug everything and it just works as expected. We don't need to do a lot of these custom protocol tools that the other database vendors need to use.
So I can just set up a lot of nodes that are CouchDB nodes that by themselves are like HTTP servers that I can load balance. And I can actually balance the writes as well, and they're going to synchronize it themselves automatically.
Setting up the synchronization, it's not automatic, but it's as close to it as you're going to get. Basically, you can write a little script that just gets pinged every time there's a write, and that script can do whatever it wants. So if you just have it replicate to in other masters, then and maybe set up the write topography, but it should be pretty easy to send all the writes to all the masters over time.
So at the moment we are focusing on getting the single node installation of CouchDB right and getting the concept of the distributed database right and then use it distributed. And then we'll focus on all the administrative things then we maybe actually get a web interface to say, okay, I have these four computers act as use CouchDB in this topology and let me know if there are any problems so I assign more machines. All this administrative things is something that you need to do manually right now. So there's no magic, just put in a box and it works. But we'll get there.
Okay. Another feature characteristic of CouchDB is, and what makes it so famous as well, is because it's written in Erlang, and Erlang is catching up as a, it's not a new language, of course, it's very robust, very old, and now because and using many big systems. So I remember that Damien, I think, started writing CouchDB in C++ and decided to rewrite it in Erlang. So what's your feelings of using Erlang, maybe for people that still are listening about Erlang but doesn't know that much about it? How much does it help to have Erlang as your main language?
Erlang rocks.
We should say that Damien's got the award for Erlang User of the Year this year, and we're really proud about that. So that's kind of exciting. And Erlang's, it's kind of a joy to work with after every language takes a little getting used to. But once you're in there, it's simple in a way that I wasn't used to before. Maybe part of that's the functional heritage, but also it's the multi-process modeling rather than object-oriented.
The success of Erlang is threefold. They have the functional language that doesn't have any global state, that makes it easy to make computations independent, which makes it easy to parallelize computations. There's the virtual machine that actually can create millions of processes where these computations can run in parallel and can even make virtual machines that sit on different machines all over the world, which is really awesome. And the standard library that makes writing servers really, really easy. So once you understand how to write a server application in Erlang, you can't really see to do it any other way. It doesn't have to be Erlang, but you have to have all these three pieces somewhere else to do like really simple, very robust and highly concurrent server applications.
Yeah, and another notion that is very common right now, I remember a paper, an article by the way, from Joel Spolsky called The Perils of Java Schools, because a lot of schools are just teaching Java and they're not learning functional programming anymore. And one of the reasons that's why just one company called Google was able to deliver MapReduce in such a mainstream way. And for people that learn functional programming, Map and Reduce are basic concepts. And now CouchDB also uses MapReduce. And if I understand correctly, if you have a ton of nodes and you run a map, it's going to parallelize it around all the nodes, and then you can reduce all the results. Is that how it basically works?
Again, we're working to get the single node performance and reliability just absolutely top notch, and then we're going to start working on spreading stuff across nodes. But the software design is built for doing MapReduce across a cluster.
So, again, we are not yet there, but this is how it's going to work.
Okay, I think now it's in 0.9, the version is 0.9, and it's 0.81, I think, and 0.9 is the trunk. And what is the roadmap that you see in the short term, maybe 1.0, or some features that you are still working on that's going to be released very soon? What can you tell us about this?
So one thing we put off for a long time was security and authentication. Because people who were using CouchDB didn't actually need it, and those who needed it just put on Nginx or Varnish or Squid to do HTTP authentication put in security measures. But Damien just last week. Committed some things that will bring authentication authorization to the CouchDB core, which makes it again more attractive to a wide range of people. That's one thing.
The security model is pretty awesome when you start playing with it. It's a security and validations in one function. So basically, for every write, the user or the administrator can provide a JavaScript function that validates the write, and so it can validate based on the user credentials, or it can validate based on the document structure.
Is it going to be something like the grant system in SQL servers that you can granularly make permissions over, I don't know, a group of database or a group of tables, or I don't know?
I think the authorization is on the document level, so documents have owners and read and write lists. So the validation function can check, does this person or does the person with these credentials have write permissions to this document? Do I allow the write or don't allow the write?
And then there's administrator accounts for managing databases and for managing the design documents, which contain the validations and the rest of the security policies.
Yeah, and right now there are still a lot of features that you intend to build. So like. So you can have all this cluster of node maps distributed and all the synchronization stuff. But
so you're asking when we're releasing 1.0?
Yeah.
And so this is open source, and the standard answer is when it's ready. Uh-huh. And we have a few ideas for what we want in 1.0 and a slight idea of how to and when to get there. The administration side of how to automatically like set up huge amounts of clusters, that's probably not 1.0. We again consider the core database, and the security model needs to be hammered out. Maybe the restructuring of the MapReduce thing that we talked about that actually is using parallel. This is something we could look at.
There's a plugin. There's a plugin framework that we're working on for 1.0. Just we want it to be extensible through the life of the 1.0. So.
Yeah, but at its current state, because it's not 1.0, you always have this notion of the magic 1.0 version. So some people feel uncomfortable using something that is not 1.0.
Yeah, they shouldn't. If they feel uncomfortable with it, they shouldn't touch it.
Exactly.
On the other hand, everybody who touched CouchDB really loved CouchDB so far, so they should be encouraged. If they don't want to, we can't help it.
Exactly. But the point is, there are still some, for instance, if I want to scale CouchDB, is it straightforward? Because you said that there are still some things missing for the synchronization stuff and... what can we do now with the CouchDB, how it is right now?
As far as doing read-or-write scaling, the sharding's a little harder, but if you're just doing read-or-write scaling, you can do that with HTTP tools and the DB update notification process. So if you're willing to roll your own, it's ready to scale. All we're going to do is provide tools to make that easier. The one other thing about being pre-1.0 is that we still occasionally change the database file format, which just requires you to do a dump and reload. It may not happen again, but it's happened a few times in the last few months. That's the one thing to look out for. Once we hit 1.0, one of the big markers, one way we'll know we're there is because we're going to commit to not changing that file format for a while.
Okay, one curiosity of mine is that you have the core... pieces of CouchDB. You have an HTTP server. I don't know if it's yours. And you have an engine for JavaScript that it's a SpiderMonkey, if I'm not mistaken. What can you say about those components? How they behave? How do you like them?
Okay, CouchDB used to use INETs, which is like the standard Erlang HTTP server. And INETs is sort of like Apache 1.3, a Swiss Army knife that does everything very, very well. But CouchDB and draws in a way sort of like Apache 2.0, the same thing, just in a modern and nicer way. But what CouchDB actually needs is a very custom HTTP server. So we using the Mochi web library, which is an abstraction over HTTP that just abstracts away the HTTP requests and responses and all the dirty details there, and just lets us work with the requests.
Mochi web feels a little bit like Mongrel for Erlang.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, it's just request response and takes the ugly parts away and gives you complete control. So,
and what about the JavaScript part of SpiderMonkey stuff?
SpiderMonkey's pretty solid. I mean, you know, there's always going to be a race about who's got the fastest interpreter, and that's good for everybody. And at this point, SpiderMonkey is always on the leading edge of that curve. So we're just sticking with it because we've got it all hooked up. But yeah,
SpiderMonkey has been around for quite a while. It's a very, very solid code base. We're not seeing any like substantial problems with it, so we're pretty happy with it, about it.
Okay, and on the standpoint of the application developer, because CouchDB is all REST based, so if I develop using these interfaces, do you think that part of the interface will still change a lot, the URLs or something like that?
We've got the basic API nailed. We've got other data stores, so copying our API because it's so beautiful and so easy to work with. There are very, very few details where we like add additional parameters that give you a little bit more information what's going on in CouchDB, or give you a little more options in that we change this API, but the core model won't change.
Okay. And another thing, again, as an application developer, for instance, if I want to have... code again, free scalability. One choice is to develop in Django using the modified model for the Google App Engine. And the problem is that I have to commit to this this architecture, and I can't use it anywhere else. And CouchDB for situations where I don't want it to be in the cloud and I still want the scalability is one way of looking at it. But because there are a lot of people thinking that way, you have other open source non-relational database like Hypertable, like HBase. I don't know if you're looking at them right now. How do you compare them with CouchDB?
From my experience with Hadoop, the Hadoop clusters don't really start to their horsepower doesn't show until you have at least 5 or maybe 10 nodes, because the overhead's a little high for a one node, at least in my experience. And with CouchDB, one node is a great amount of CouchDB, you know, to be running, and 2 is only better. But CouchDB is really designed to be useful from the get-go.
I think from my standpoint, I think you're doing CouchDB to be very easy to install, because I still think that the Hadoop and the base, you still have to do some more work. And do you think that the installation processes are still going to improve even more, because I think it's already very easy?
Yeah, definitely. We're working on the build all the time. And Jan's got some cool stuff on OS X that we're probably going to start pushing out more frequently.
So while pretty easy for an open source project to install, we continue to improve, like remove dependencies, like find out what edge cases, like where the Linux distros put their files and make that easier for the user. So, and maybe eventually provide binary packages. So that's just a really, really easy installation.
Okay. Now I'm talking a little bit more about the Ruby community that I'm part of. So I'm very fortunate to have Chris Anderson talk. That's the Couch. You're the CouchDB creator or maintainer? I don't know how
it's... CouchRest.
CouchRest, sorry. Yeah.
So CouchRest is... It started out as just my port of the JavaScript CouchDB test client that Damien originally wrote, which is the simplest... You know, that was just the reference implementation of an API client. So I ported that to Ruby and started adding some helpers on it. And it's still in flux, but you know, the core of it is just a wrapper around REST client that Adam Wiggins wrote, which is makes HTTP painless in Ruby. And so REST client plus JSON plus knowing the names of the CouchDB endpoints. And I wanted to keep it really simple because there's a lot of Ruby libraries that are trying to jump straight to Active Record. So if you're writing one of those and you're listening to this, consider jumping straight to Active Record by writing a CouchRest wrapper.
Okay. Do you see projects already using CouchDB in production? What's the experience of Rails development using CouchDB that you have seen in the community?
I've been working with some of the MERB folks a little bit more than Rails, but I know that there are active projects on both frameworks. Personally, I've been using just raw CouchRest without putting an ORM on top of it and interacting with the JSON as Ruby hashes and arrays to manage my web spidering. So, run an HTML page through hpercot, turn it into JSON, save it, and then use MapReduce to query that. And it's just been fast and simple and way easier than the old way I was doing it with SQL.
Yeah, and another thing I forgot to ask, CouchDB, it's not obviously supposed to outdo any relational database in a single node performance-wise, but just raw performance. But how is it catching up?
So the basic idea of CouchDB and any Erlang application, in fact, is we don't care that much for single query execution speed. Single queries will be still fast enough for the end user, but we will be able, or we are able, to handle a massive load of concurrent requests. So if you have a single MySQL instance, getting that to serve, or on a modest server, getting that to serve 50,000 requests is a pretty hard thing to do. With CouchDB, not so much. Single query benchmark, it might be 10 times slower, but if it's a millisecond against 10 milliseconds, what should the user care? So the perceived speed for the end user might not is not an issue, but we can accommodate a lot more users than a relational database.
Okay, and another use case that I've seen for the application standpoint is that because CouchDB is an HTTP server that you can balance, you can even avoid the middleware completely using rich client frameworks like Sprout Core and stuff like that. And have you seen experiences like that going on already?
The CouchDB administration interface, Futon, is that kind of application. It's just an Ajax application directly talking to CouchDB, which is really, really neat. And Chris has a lot to say about this.
Yeah, I've been evangelizing Ajax on top of CouchDB recently, just because I had so much fun with it. You can serve static HTML as attachments. You can serve any file as an attachment from CouchDB. So if you throw an HTML file up there and talk to the built-in copy of jQuery that is on every CouchDB instance, then it's pretty simple to build. I build a blog. I build a Twitter client. I think there's some people working on CMS software, and there's the field is wide open. I'd like to see a feed reader, you know, sort of like Google Reader, but that you own, come out. But you know, we'll see who has time to hack on it.
Okay, and what about the non-web space? For instance, the embeddable space. Is it a project going on, or some features that are in CouchDB that makes it easy to embed a document-based database in desktop applications, for instance? Do you see this kind of use going on?
The CouchDB memory footprint is pretty low, and you can even tweak that to be a little lower. It's not as light as SQLite, for example. For a really small embedded memory-based database, SQLite is still ways ahead of CouchDB in that term. At the moment, you need to go through HTTP to talk to CouchDB, but we're working on an Erlang API that would let you write native, or just core Erlang applications using CouchDB without going through the HTTP request, without requiring sockets, being very more a lot smaller. And Erlang is very much tuned at embedded systems, so that's definitely a way to go.
Yeah, and you know, more and more these days, clients like an Android or something will have an HTTP stack. So if you already know the API and the latency is low enough when you're running against localhost, you may as well just program against CouchDB as though it were living on a remote host, but have the have the names resolved locally.
Yeah. Okay. And I forgot to ask about this, but I prefer to leave it at the end. What about the how did CouchDB come to be? What is the overview of the history of CouchDB? Why did it came up?
Okay, Damien Katz, the guy who came up with CouchDB, used to work for Iris. That's the consultancy that did Notes for Lotus, and which subsequently got bought by IBM. And Damien worked on the Lotus Notes database. There are a lot of things wrong with Lotus Notes, and I hope a lot of the readers will understand that, but that's mostly in the UI space. The database part is really rock solid, and they solve the distributed database things very, very well, and quite a while ago. And Notes is not a young project, and Damien was thinking the core ideas are really, really good, but somebody needs to go and wrap that into like a modern database to take the web into account, make it really modern, nice, small, get rid of all the baggage that came along in the last 20, 25 years. So he quit his job, moved from Boston to North Carolina, where it's cheaper to live with his wife and newborn daughter, to be near the family and have a cheaper place to live. And he lived off his savings for two and a half years to create CouchDB, only to release it as a GPL project. He ran out of money, tried to turn CouchDB into a business or to get hired by some other company, and he got hired by MySQL, worked for MySQL for half a year as a senior software engineer. He did some cool things with the upcoming 5.1 release, which I'm really excited to see if they ever get to release it. And then IBM came around and asked Damien, "Hey Damien, we want you to work on CouchDB full time. We pay you and it'll be all good." And Damien said, "I don't know. I know you guys, you're pretty nice, and I know you're really cool, but there is I put so much love and effort and money into CouchDB, there's no way I'm selling you CouchDB." And IBM said, "Well, okay, too bad." And they came back a week later, maybe not literally a week, but came back and said, "Damien, we still want you to work for us full time to work on CouchDB, and we will donate the copyright for all the source code you write to the Apache Software Foundation. So regardless of what we are doing with you, your code will always be free. We don't own CouchDB." And he said, "Well, I still don't know." "And you get a raise." "Okay." So Damien now works from home with in the center of his family. He loves his family. He's a great dad. And he has this, for him, perfect setup to work from home on his own open source project, getting paid by IBM to do so. Which is really, really nice. So we now with the Apache Software Foundation, under the Apache 2.0 license. It's a little bit more corporate friendly if you're into that. I think today will be the graduation of CouchDB from the Apache incubator. So we were a small project that need to be mentored, and we're just graduating from that to be a top level project with the Apache Foundation.
Yeah, I was going to ask about the incubator stuff. So you say that it's going to be, when's it going to graduate? Today?
The actual graduation from the incubator was last week, where the incubator people allowed us to incubate, to graduate from the incubator. And today is the Apache board meeting that hopefully will instantiate CouchDB as a top-level project with the Apache Software Foundation.
Okay, awesome. So this probably gives a Couch a new level of acceptance because it's not just an incubator project.
Exactly. People should... you're basically right, but people should not confuse being a top-level Apache project with having more stable code. So this is all about a healthy open-source project with a diversified developer community, with lots of contributors, with lots of interest, and we qualify on all these ends. That doesn't mean overnight our code is somehow more stable, which it is pretty stable already, so you don't need to worry about that, but... It will give us a new level of acceptance because we are a proper project now, and maybe people were looking, okay, while they're in the incubator, we're not going to look at it because the incubation might fail and then we don't know what happens. And now the Apache Software Foundation is like will fully support us.
Okay. And so
sorry.
Yeah, it's a cool story because having Damien come from the Lotus Notes background, do you see maybe IBM going after CouchDB for the Lotus Liner project or something like that?
Damien is part of the CTO's office, and I think it's purely research money that gets spent on him. He obviously gets to talk to other people within IBM, and there's a lot of things I don't know. I'm not with IBM. I have no idea. But from what I learned so far is that they are just generally interested in this new kind of thing that IBM is doing. Well, IBM is huge. And Nodes is a highly successful thing for IBM. They make good money with that every year. And I don't think they see any incentive to, or have any incentive to, change the core database of something that has been working well for 15, 20 years. That said, there might be projects within IBM that IBM is not telling us about, or that maybe even Damien doesn't know about. I don't know.
Okay. I think I forgot to ask, how did you become committers of CouchDB project, and how that started?
Well, I was involved as a user for a while, starting maybe a little over a year ago, mid-2007, and was kind of scoping it out, and then ended up using it for a fairly serious project, doing multi-node web spidering using Hadoop and CouchDB together, and just it made my life so much easier. You should see the old code. and because of that, I just started hanging out in the IRC room with the rest of the guys, and met Damien at the Ruby Fringe conference, which was if you look, there's a video that should be going up eventually of his talk, and it was a great talk. I was talking to Damien and had known him on the channel and had a few core pieces of help I wanted to do with the project. So I really buckled down and learned the code base and went through everything. And now I'm managing patches coming in and kind of concentrating on the HTTP API.
I read about CouchDB a little over 2 years ago and thought, back then I was doing consulting work, making PHP MySQL application scale, and I read about CouchDB and thought, in principle, that would make my life, it would make me not have a job anymore, so I better learn about it. And actually, if I could use that, I could work a lot less and get the same results. And maybe get more money for it. So I started to get involved. And by the time CouchDB was Windows only, because Damien's development environment was just based on Windows, so there's nothing wrong with it. I just don't happen to like Windows, and I have everything but Windows. So I started to look at the code base, how to make it run on the Unix system, and then talk to Damien of how this is how I would do it. And he mailed back, go and try. And apparently there were a few people like trying to get it done, but nobody really did. But I got in and wrote a make file and got the source code in a way that it could compile on Unix and Mac and Linux, and that's how I got started with CouchDB, and I've like stuck around since then, helping to improve, getting the concept. Back then was CouchDB was using XML and a custom language called Fabric that was sort of like the Nodes query language, and then we had long discussions about how to improve that, and we eventually went to JSON and JavaScript, and which are just so natural fits and now core features of CouchDB and a good thing. I did a fair bit of evangelizing, just traveling around the world, telling everybody who wants to know about CouchDB. And I'm doing all the, contributing a little bit of core code and managing the community, or like getting everybody to talk to everybody.
Yeah, and actually for me now, I just remember I do these things out of order because I just go remember stuff. And one thing that struck chord on me is that in traditional database, you have, I think they said, static data and dynamic queries, and in CouchDB, it's the opposite. You have dynamic data and static queries, and people are very used to have this whole lot of data and run lots and lots of queries all the time, and now they have to think beforehand to have views. It's not pre-calculate or something. How does it change? Doesn't it make a little bit more difficult for people to use it that way, or is it something that's inherent to the way that the CouchDB works?
It's a bit inherent of how CouchDB works. So creating a view is basically creating a new index. So if you have a join that's rather slow and you analyze it and you see, okay, I'm using this column and this column doesn't have an index, you need to add an index. And that's the same thing. Okay, I need to query on this kind of data, I need to create an index for it. So when you do the schema design on the database, that goes down to the data type level. Okay, I want to, like, I don't know, 2-byte int here or varc varchar or whatever. In CouchDB, you just have to think about the indexes and then can readily use your data. So it's actually an easier schema design in CouchDB.
Yeah, the nice thing, I mean, with a relational database, you've got to be clever when you're setting up the schema, and then you have to bootstrap that cleverness back up in your head when you're going to modify the schema. With CouchDB, you've got to be clever when you write the views, but you can go and write new views on top of old data whenever you want. There's, you know, it's sort of similar challenges with both of them, and they just happen at different times in the application lifecycle and have different pluses and minuses.
If you like agile development, like changing as you go is something that CouchDB supports very, very well. That can get messy eventually, so you need to be a little be strict about how way you go and do proper refactorings from time to time. But it doesn't force you to do every little bit up front and doesn't require to change it whenever or change it completely whenever some minor detail changes, as it with a relational database.
Okay, and how does a new developer, how would a new developer start learning about CouchDB? Is there any literature, any book, or something that you recommend?
Chris, Noah Slater from the UK, another developer of CouchDB, and I are writing a book for O'Reilly. Relax with CouchDB is scheduled to be hopefully maybe released in summer, but O'Reilly allows us to write it as an Apache 2.0 license book, which we'll put out in the open starting next year, at the beginning of next year, so you can start reading the first chapters and contribute feedback and send us in all the typos we make. Until then, go to couchdb.org. Has a list of, like, there's a technical overview to get like more and more details, all the features of CouchDB. There's the wiki that has all the reference reference APIs, API references that you can look up. And there's a wiki page called presentations that has a list of presentations that several people, myself, Chris, and some other guys have done, with slides, with a video or recording, that give you another like hour, maybe 2 hours of material to go through.
Once you start working on it, if you want to really see the details of the API, what I do for reference when something's fuzzy in my head is I'll go look right at the CouchDB test suite, which is included in the Futon application. It's just some JavaScript functions that run HTTP requests against CouchDB and specify the responses. So by reading that, you can pretty much keep up to date with the API. If there's any little changes or new features added, they'll show up there first.
Okay, and I think I would want to hear last opinion. Maybe how do you love CouchDB, or sales pitch, or something that you want to say about CouchDB.
Should we do the theme song? It's an unofficial theme song.
I can't remember the theme song.
Maybe you'll edit this.
I'll just do it.
Bum 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 bum. Couchy beach, couchy beach, couchy beach. Relax. So we'll get it where everyone can sing that, but that'll take some time.
Awesome. Yeah?
I'm not going to sing, but CouchDBs will make the... I love CouchDB. CouchDB will make the life of so many people so much easier. That's just... It will be one of the technologies that enable a lot of people to do a lot of new things to build on top of that we can't. There's things in CouchDB like querying by structure instead of by data that nobody else does, and clever people will come up with way exploiting that in very, very amazing ways. And I'm really, really waiting to see when these it already starts, but when it hit mainstream, there will be so many amazing things that people do on top of CouchDB that will just I'm eager to be in this new world.
Okay, awesome. I'm personally very excited about CouchDB, and I think I'll learn it very fast now that I have the incentive. And I think most developers are starting to see the advantages of having this kind of architecture and technology behind. So I thank you very much for your time for this interview, because I know it's going to be great for the Brazilian community. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Thanks for having us on.
Thanks for the nice interview.